Hello, everybody, and welcome to A Medic's Mind,
the podcast.
I don't have a blog read for you today, but what I wanted to talk about was, at the risk of sounding narcissistic, me. I had a friend reach out recently to me, and they also listened to the podcast. They really enjoyed episode 8, Not So Serious, an episode where I kind of talk about me and some stories that I went through as a kid, and they're more lighthearted. They think it's a good breakup to the otherwise somewhat bleak nature of this blog, and I would agree. I think that having a healthy mix of things is definitely the way to go, and so that is what I'm going to do on this episode of A Medic's Mind. I'm going to tell you some stories about how much of an idiot I was as a kid, and we will take it from there. Enjoy the guitar riff. Okay, welcome back to A Medic's Mind, the podcast. Okay, so anybody who listened to episode 14 will know that we are due for an infusion of some lightheartedness. As therapeutic and as cathartic as that episode was for me, it was also draining and difficult. The act of writing it is incredibly taxing on my soul, and I know it sounds like a weird thing to say, but it really is, because it draws from so many places of introspective agony that to write something like that down in the sequential events in which it took place. When I'm writing it, I'm visualizing it, I can see it, and I'm there again, and at times that's almost re-traumatizing, so I have to stop and think about what I want to say with respect to that event, so that I'm not re-traumatizing myself, so that I'm not going back into that ruminative place. And so even though I was able to focus on more of the lexicological structure of what I wanted to say, it's still hard, it's still heavy, and I'm sure it's a heavy post to listen to, because it was a heavy day, it was a heavy call, it was a shit call. So on this episode, I'd like to try and do something a little lighter, obviously, and tell you some other stories, much like I did in episode 8, Not So Serious. I don't even know where to begin, really, with what I want to say. Told you about my ineptitude for dating, and my romance guidance system is broken. Online dating, that's a weird beast, isn't it? It's a weird thing. When I moved to Ontario, Toronto, in 2014, and I moved here after the cataclysmic collapse of my relationship with my ex, my now ex, who I'm still parrying. I moved out to Ontario, and so my buddy recommended that I join online dating. He said, man, just go on to online dating, just do it. You know, you're not going to lose anything by doing it. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. And so I joined this online dating profile. I believe it was Plenty of Fish or Plenty of Freaks, because that's what it turns out to be. Anyway, I joined this this thing. And within a couple of days, I get a message from this girl. She's a physiotherapist, and her pic, she's gorgeous, you know. And so I'm talking with her for like a week or whatever, and finally she's like, you know, hey, we should meet up for a drink. And I was like, yeah, it sounds awesome. We definitely should meet up for a drink. And she goes, yeah, why don't you just come over to my place? I got some wine. We'll watch a movie. And I was like, that sounds fucking awesome. Because I'm thinking with the lower part of my head, if that makes sense, that part of my brain, males have two brains. Half of it's up in their head. The other half, well, it's south of the border. That's just fucking being honest. So I was like, yeah, this is great. She lives out in Scarborough. Now, I don't know anything about the Ontario landscape at this point, right? The topographical distances to me don't make sense to me. So I didn't know that it was Scarberia. Okay, I had no idea. How the hell am I supposed to know this? I'm not from here. I just moved here. So anyway, I get on the subway and I take this horrendous subway ride out to Scarborough. And I am using my phone to get me to where I need to go. And I see that she lives in this beautiful place, like this huge sky. There's a guy where, not a security guard, but like a, you know, usher. I guess an usher. Guys at the hotel, the guys that stand out front. You know what I mean? That welcome you in. A greeter, an usher, whatever. Those guys. Anyway, she had one of those inner apartment buildings. He's wearing this blue coat, and he even had one of those weird old school hats. Anyway, I go in, I introduce myself, I say I'm here for, so let's just call her Becky. I'm here for Becky. That's not her name, but let's go with it for story's sake. Yeah, I'm here for Becky. She lives in this apartment. I show him the buzzer number or the apartment number. So he contacts her. She has to come down to meet me. Now, keep in mind, we've never physically met before. Okay, we have not met yet. And all I know of her are the pictures, the five or so thumbnail pictures that I've seen online on the dating app. And I'm looking at those quickly to reassure myself of who I need to look for, because this person's coming down to meet me. So I'm standing in the lobby. I'm the only person in the lobby. I hear the ding of the elevator doors separate, and I see this lady come out, and I was like, oh, okay. And so I keep waiting. That person that got out of the elevator was Becky. Now, the thing about Becky is she doesn't look anything like photograph Becky. This Becky looks like she's a few years out of date, maybe had like a bad burrito at some point that just got stuck somewhere in her colon and hasn't gone anywhere for like 5 to 6 years. I don't know. And so I turn around, and there's Becky. And she taps me on the shoulder. She goes, Matthew, hi. And I, hey, hello, ma'am, miss, Becky? Yeah, it was Becky. So she gives me this big hug, and I'm like, oh, it smells like Doritos. That's not good. And so I go, I went up to her apartment. Of course, I went up to her apartment. What am I going to do? So I went up to her apartment. Beautiful apartment. It's amazing. But now, and here's the thing. I had just moved to Ontario, which means that I was still in medic mode because I was still working as a medic at the time. Now, I walk into this place, and the first thing I do is I survey the place. How dirty is it? How clean is it? Is there anything that can hurt me here? Any knives? Any what? Right? So anytime I walk into a house, doesn't matter who it is or how many years it's been, that's what I'm doing. I'm assessing your place to see if there's anything there that shouldn't be. And so she has this. It's a beautiful, beautiful apartment. It's one of the penthouse apartments in this building. And she had this island kitchen, or the island in the kitchen. And it was huge. It was like its own like table, but it was an island, center island. And so you walk in, she kind of, you know, yeah, hey, this is my place. Make yourself comfortable. I'm just going to go and freshen up. And I was like, oh, are you going to scrub a lot? Sure. Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, I'll wait. Of course. And so she goes into the bathroom, and I instantly scan the island. One thing I should note, it's not clean in here, by the way. It's untidy. And like there's clothing on the couch, which is odd for me. And also on the island is a pyramid or corpse graveyard of pill bottles. And I know it's rude to survey and inventory somebody's pill bottles. I know that. I get that. But hear me out. I just met this person. And this person looks like they might have eaten the other person that I'm supposed to actually be here to meet. So I'm a little defensive right now. And so I walk over to the island, and I take a look. I pick up one of the pill bottles. I'm like, okay, so she's got some digestive issues. Okay, pick up the other one. Okay, yeah, so she's depressed a little bit. Okay, fine. Pick up the other one, some anxiety. Okay, pick up the other one, some like antibiotic. That's not good. So I was going through, and then I heard the clasp of the door unlock, and I put the pills down, and I just stand there with my hands on my hips. As uncomfortably rigid as anybody who is uncomfortably rigid could be. And she goes, do you want a drink? Yeah, please. I'll have all the drinks. Yeah, if I could just have a drink, that'd be great. So she goes into her fridge and gets some wine, which is really disappointing because not only am I not much of a wine guy, but this means that now I got to drink out of a glass, you know, and I don't trust her cleanliness at this point. So anyway, she hands me this glass. I, you know, try and look at it as quickly as I possibly can as we navigate towards the balcony. She goes, "You want to go check out the balcony?" I was like, "Yeah, I do. I just want to see if it's tall enough to throw myself from." "Yeah, no, let's go check that out." So we go out to the balcony, and it's a beautiful balcony. Like I said, like, this place is fucking top notch. I will never be able to afford this place. That's how nice it is, if that's a gauge of fucking anything. Speaking of narcissism. So I'm out in this balcony, and the sun is setting. It's a beautiful sky, like a beautiful night, pink and orange sky. You know, this would be a perfect setting had there not been the shock and awe of seeing somebody completely different. And so anyway, she hits me with it, folks. She fucking turns around and she goes, "So, do I look different from my photos?" Now, my internal monologue, my internal mind says, Yeah, you do. You look like the angry sister of whoever was in that photograph. Like, is she in the closet? Like, did you lock her up somewhere? You did great work in Cinderella as one of the evil stepsisters, by the way. Good work. Loved that show. But my external mind, or external voice anyway, was like, photos are weird, you know. You can't really gauge. They're small, the pixels. You're pretty close, familiar. She goes, "Yeah, so I'm really glad you came over." I'm also glad that I'm all came here with you. This is a nice place you have. Wine. And so we're sitting there, and she goes, you know, "I don't have to work tomorrow." And I was like, "Well, that's unfortunate, because that means you can stay up as late as you want." And she's like, "Do you want to watch a movie with me?" And I was like, "There's nothing I'd love more than to watch a movie with you. Yeah, let's, okay. Can we watch just the previews? Does that count?" So we go into her living room, and she literally has to, like, do the scoop, you know what I mean? When you come up to a pile of clothes and you open your arms as wide as you can and you scoop in like you're some sort of construction machine. She does that, and she has to move all the clothes. She fucking, like, kicks open the bedroom like she's some sort of SWAT officer and just fucking turfs these clothes. They explode into the air and then just land anywhere in a chaos pattern. And she comes back out, and she kind of taps the couch for me to sit down. And I'm running out of wine at this point. So I generally, when I'm out somewhere, if I'm in somewhere, I generally don't ask for more drinks. I generally just wait for people to offer. Doesn't matter if it's alcohol or wine or coffee or tea. I find it rude. It's like a thing for me. I just can't do it. I was looking at my glass a bunch, like, "Hey, it's running super low. I need more." And finally she goes, "Oh, but for the movie, do you like want some more wine?" I was like, "Oh, yeah. You know what? Sure, I'll eat a little bit would be great. Thank you." And so she goes, gets us more wine, and she comes back. And now we're now sitting relatively close to each other. I've taken up residency on the couch in what I think to be a fairly safe place. I'm not in the corner so that I can't move, and I'm not right at the edge where the arm is, because then I can't move on the other side. So I've kind of taken up residency so that no matter where she sits, I have access to move. Fucking clever. And so she sits down, and we start, like, she presses play on the movie. And it doesn't even get into the previews before this girl puts her hand on my leg. And she goes, "You know, I'm really happy you look just like your photos. And you're so nice. Like, seriously, thanks for, like, coming over and stuff. It's really nice to meet you. I've had so much fun talking to you." I'm like, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's been great. Are you sure you didn't lock her up somewhere?" "Yeah, no, it's been a good time." So now now that her hand is on my leg, and I kind of like shoot it a glance every now and then, and I'm not reciprocating. I need you to know this. But I guess my, you know, avoidance, my, you know, I didn't brush her off or anything. So she just saw that as a green light to continue further. So now she takes her fingers and starts climbing a little bit northward to places where only a select few people are warranted and granted access to. Now, the thing is, I am not feeling it whatsoever. Like, Mini-Matt's gone on vacation. Like, he is not having any part. He, like, when he walked through that apartment with me, he looked up and he goes, oh, yep, no, fuck that. Nope. And then he just fucking left. He is gone. Okay, so there is no interaction with him whatsoever. And so I kind of stop, and like I put my hand there to kind of stop her. She saw that as an opportunity to grab my hand and hold my hand. And she grabbed my hand. She just, aw. What the fuck? No, that wasn't, this isn't it. This isn't Hallmark, lady. This is like an episode of fucking Saw, okay? This is not good. And anyway, so she starts kissing my neck. Okay, and I'm like, well, maybe she's a vampire and I'm going to die. That would be all right out of this whole thing. But no, she just starts just going on the, you know, just kissing the old neck. And so eventually I kind of stand by. I was like, hey, where's your bathroom? I need to just quickly use your bath. I got to go use that for a second, if that's cool. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's just over there. So I went in to use the bathroom. And now I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, shit, what the fuck am I going to do? I have to figure this out. I really need to, like, I got to get out of here. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't for me. This is not the right place for me. So I'm in the bathroom. And I look at my phone. I was like, oh, if I set an alarm, pretend that that's somebody phoning me, I could be like, hello? Yeah? Oh, you died? Oh, I'll be right there. You know? So I'm trying to figure out like an exit plan. You know what I mean? And so I thought I set my alarm, right? I was like, yeah, I'll set it for like 2 minutes. 2 minutes sounds good. So I set it for 2 minutes. I set it for AM, not PM, because the alarm never fucking went off. And I'm back on the couch with Slurpee fucking the dinosaur just licking up my fucking neck like I'm a T-bone. And she goes, do you want to go into the bedroom? No, I don't want to. Nope, never. I don't at all, actually. I was like, ah, you mean where your mountain of giant clothes of an unknown cleanliness are? I don't know if I'm ready for. I'm just getting out of a relationship, so I gave her the out of relationship speech, and she's like, "Oh, it's fine. Just come with me." So she grabs my hand and starts leading me there, and I'm like, "Well, this is how my life ends. That's fine. We all have an end at some point. This is mine. Makes sense to go out this way." And so we go into the room. The lights are off, and she just fucking lays down on the bed and. You know, I'm kind of sitting there and she's kind of stroking my back. So she's trying. And then I was like, I'm really sorry. The wine. Do you mind if I just use the bathroom again real quick? And she goes, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's fine. I'll just be here. So I get up and I open the door and I start kind of closing it too. And she goes, oh, you don't have to close the door. That's fine. I was like, I'll just close it. I'll close it a bit. I'll close it a bit. So I close it a bit. And I go into the bathroom. And now I'm really freaking out because I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? I clearly can't jump off the balcony. I mean, I could jump off the balcony, but I can't jump off the balcony. You know what I mean? And so I was like, okay, I turn the water on. And I'm sitting there thinking, I must have been thinking for too long. She goes, I just hear her muffled voice just kind of come in. Matt, are you all right in there? Like, do you need anything? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I have contacts. Contact issue. I'll be there in a minute. And so I got the water on, and then I'm like, fuck it. You know what? Just sneak out, get your shoes on, and go. So that's what I did. I left the water running. I opened the door, and I fucking Now I'm like the SWAT officer, man. I am crouched down and I'm sneaking. All my years of playing stealth video games are paying off to a fucking T because I'm avoiding all the loud, creaky spots in the floor. I am like a ninja of sanctity. You know, I'm protecting my fucking virtue. So I get my shoes on and I didn't want to put my jacket on because, you know, it was going to make too much noise. So I just grabbed my jacket. And I slowly open her door, and that's when I'm fucking betrayed by the loudest metal creak of all time. The door, I swear, was laughing at me, going, fuck you, door. So I ran out, and I came running down the hallway, and I forgot where the fucking stairs were because I'm like, I can't take the elevator. That's going to take way too fucking long. I need to take the emergency exits down or the exit, you know what I mean? The stairs. I don't care that's on the top floor. That's not a concern to me at this point, folks. I'm like Jason Bourne exfiltrating from the fucking embassy. I got to get the fuck out. So I ran past. I was about to knock on the apartment door. I was like, no, that fuck, that's an apartment. I go running back and I'm like, she's going to come out. She's going to come out. She's going to come out. I know she, my heart is fucking... It is going, okay? And so finally I go and I see the exit sign, the big, glorious, illuminating green exit sign. I love you, you bastard. And I go and I fucking hoof all the way down the stairs. I am bounding down the fucking stairs. And I make it to the bottom and I go running. And I'm running on the street now, okay? Like, I ran out of this girl's apartment and... I didn't tell, like, I ran. I literally escaped this girl's apartment. Okay? I'm not joking. This is crazy. I was scared for my sexual safety. And so I went running down the, like, this. And I'm in Scarborough, right? I don't know where the fuck I am. I just moved here. Everything is foreign and new to me. And then I ran by this place that looked really good. And I was kind of drunk. And it's a burger place. So I stopped in for a burger before I continued my escape. And it's less than a block away from her fucking house. But I was like, oh, I'll just sit way at the back of the restaurant. That should be good. And I ordered this big, greasy, glorious burger to you know, console myself with. And my phone rings. It's her. And I was like, shit, I don't know what to... So I like pick it up because why didn't I ignore it? I don't fucking know why I didn't ignore it, you know, but this is, I didn't. I pick up the fucking phone like a moron. I think it's because part of me was like, you got to be nice. Like, maybe just tell her the truth. But then after picking up the phone, I was like, don't fucking tell her the truth. That's a terrible thing to do. So I was now, but now I'm on the phone. I can't. Oh, fuck. She goes, hi, Matt. What happened? I was like, yeah, oh man, I'm so embarrassed. I the wine, it's really, I pooped myself in your apartment. I'm really sorry that I, yeah, it was a big creamy shit. I'm so sorry that I did that. And she goes, you pooped? Oh, you should just come back. It's fine. We can. Like, I got, like, it's fine. And I was like, no, it's not good. It's really, it's not good. It's like expired milk and milk does. It's not, I had like some stuff. It's not good. It's not. Anyway, that was my journey into online dating. And I quickly called it quits after that. Funnily enough, I'm back on online dating right now. By online dating, I mean, I have a profile, but I'm not really doing much with it. It's just sort of there. And I don't really know how to feel about it because, like, I don't get any messages either. So, like, that's probably not a good sign, you know, if you want to build up some worth, some self-worth, or feel like, hey, I'm not bad looking. Empty inbox every fucking day, except for this one girl who looked like she could have gone to preschool with Jesus. That she messaged her. She seems lovely. So that happened. That was a thing. Yeah, what else? I mean, I'm at the 25-minute mark. That's a pretty good episode right there. I don't really... It's tough to try and think of, like, funny things on the spot, you know? And I know that I have the luxury of recording whenever I want to, but, you know, I was kind of excited to try out the new mic, see what the sound is like, see if it's any better than it has been. Hopefully it is. Yeah, I don't know, guys. I'm going to make a tea. I'm going to press pause right now. You're not going to notice that I'm pressing pause, but I'm going to press pause and I'll be right back. Okay, I am back. You guys probably didn't notice a difference, but I am. I got a tea here and I'm happy about that. So, when I was a kid, trying to think, I was kind of a shit as a kid. Me and my friends were little shits. And, so we just, you know, we did kind of, you know, things. If you heard a slam, that's a door. Neighbors are fighting again. It happens. I don't know. Let's see here. As a kid. We were little shits. So we used to just do terrible things like Nikki Nine Door, you know, knocking on doors and running away. I don't know why we thought that was funny, but it was. Okay. So on that topic of knocking on doors and running away. So when we got to around 15, 16, yeah, about 16, must have been around 16, because my friend Rob was driving. And so it was me, Rob, Robbie, Harvey, and Drew. And we all went into Kelowna, which is the next closest big city. Like, Vernon was closer, but we went into Kelowna. Kelowna was a cool place. And we're like, dude, let's just play Nikki Nine Door here. This is fucking awesome. Nobody knows us. It's fucking great. Can't get in trouble, because that's what we thought. Couldn't get in trouble. We have a car. Get away. Anyway, so what we would do is we would park down a residential street. And we would take turns. So one person out of our little fucking gaggle of friends would get out and go knock on somebody's door, just boom, 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 and then run away. And we would be in the car watching, and they'd be like, our friend would hide in the bush somewhere, and then we'd pick him up after, and just, right, laughing like fucking idiots, thinking that it was the greatest thing ever. And so, we're going through this, you know, time, like, we're each taking turns going through. Now it's my friend, like, I just completed my turn. Now it's Harvey's turn. Harvey is a stocky kid. He's, you know, he's built like a brick shit house at that age. You know, he's a walking six pack, you know what I mean, blessed with genetics kind of thing. But he's also like a mechanic, so he's super strong kid. And anyway, it's his turn now. So he gets kind of overzealous sometimes, or did back at that age. And so we go to this house, and we parked down a little ways, and Harvey jumps out. And I really liked Harvey. He was a great guy. Still is, probably. I just haven't talked to him in a bunch of years. And so he runs up to the house, and he fucking, you know, he's... So the house has some steps leading up to the front door, and Harvey goes up the steps. And it's the middle of the night in the summertime, so, you know, it's a nice night, but we got the cover of darkness, right? We're thinking smartly about this whole fucking debauchery of juvenile delinquency. And so Harvey's there, and I thought, like, just knock on the door, Harvey. Just knock on the fucking door and run. But Harvey stood at the door for a second, almost like he was examining it. And I don't, like, we're like, what the fuck is he doing? I don't know. Is somebody coming? I don't know. Like, what's happening? I don't know. And then I see him put one hand on the banister, and then he takes his other hand and puts on the other banister. So now he looks like an Olympic skier that's getting ready to go. But he wasn't facing the stairs, he was facing the door. But he started rocking himself in that same sort of movement that a skier would before they go down the ski jump. And he fucking hoofed the door. He kicked that motherfucker. Boom! Like this big clattering fucking thud. He hit the door. It came off its fucking hinge. This door flew off the hinge. And now we can see into the house. And in this house was a startled guy at the top of these stairs that go from, like, the little, like, entryway upstairs. There was, like, 3 or 4 steps leading upstairs. And there's this guy in a house coat, but it wasn't, like, a man's house coat. It was very short. It was surprisingly short. And so there's this guy, and he looks scared. Harvey looks scared. We're all fucking terrified. And completely obfuscated at what the fuck is going on. Harvey just kicked in a goddamn door. Does he know the guy? Does he owe him money? I don't know. And so Harvey fucking, there's that little brief moment where both deers are caught by both headlights. You know what I mean? Like they're both not moving. And then all of a sudden Harvey goes, I gotta run. I just kicked in a fucking door. And so he turns around and instead of like running down the stairs, he jumps down the stairs. And there was probably about five, six stairs of like cement, nice stairs leading up to the house. It's that we're in a pretty affluent neighborhood or opulent neighborhood. And Harvey landed, he fucking rolled his ankle. And so, you know, we lost him behind these bushes. We couldn't see him. And then all of a sudden he pops up and he's running. He's running like he's been shot. So he's hobbling and he's like, go, go, go. So my buddy Rob starts his car. Now, have you ever been so scared that you just start laughing? You know what I mean? Like you just can't help yourself. Like you're terrified, but you start laughing. Well, that was all of us. And Robbie from, I don't know if you saw or heard episode 8, but Robbie has the most contagious laugh ever. It just starts out just like I can't even fucking mimic it, but he was doing it. And now I am pissing myself laughing. Like I'm laughing so hard that I don't have air to bring in anymore. That's how hard I'm laughing. Watching my friend hobble like he's been shot. And then finally the guy that was inside the house realized and clued in what the fuck had just happened, that some kids just kicked in his door because we're a bunch of cunts. So he fucking starts running after him in his tiny house coat. He's got this small little fucking thing. Look, it's just terrible. And he's running after Harvey, but he's got these slippers on, so you hear the flapping of his fucking slippers. on the fucking roadway as he's running after us, and Harvey gets close, and so Rob has started moving the car at this point, and Harvey dives into the car fucking head first, little feet dangling out. We pull him in, take off, we drive right back to Sam and R, and we were like, fuck this, man, they're gonna call the cops. You busted in a door, what the fuck were you thinking? He goes, I just wanted to kick it. Well, you fucking kicked it, buddy. You fucking kicked it. Kicked it off its fucking hinges. Yeah. Oh, jeez. That image of watching my friend Harvey, you know, teenage gangly, you know, stocky, not gangly, teenage stocky kid, but teenage nonetheless, so awkwardly shaped, fucking hobbling towards a rolling car with a guy with the tiniest house coat of all house coats chasing after him. Holding that imagery is fucking, that's good times. Oh, that's good times. Anyway, that's where I come from. That's the kind of kid I was. A little shit. Maybe my life now is payback and retribution for the kind of asshole I was as a kid. I don't know. Either way. But folks, that's a half hour episode. So if you made it to the end here, thank you. And if you haven't, I fully understand. It's a half hour. But that's going to be it for me. I'm going to wrap it up. And now you know a little bit more about my medic's mind and what makes it tick. Anyway, folks, take care of yourselves. And like I said, or have been saying, keep talking to each other.